If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Remember, our theme this year for Advent is the focus upon relationships around the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, Justin did an able and capable job of preaching about the shepherds, who were the very first ones to hear the good tidings of the coming of Messiah. This morning I want to focus on two distinct individuals who follow, oddly enough, right in the passage in Luke chapter 2, Anna and Simeon. Anna and Simeon in chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. And we'll look at their relationship to the events surrounding the coming of our Lord Jesus this morning as we continue in this theme of relationships, and how the Lord Jesus' birth affected those who were present at that time, and subsequently how it affects us 2,000 years later. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, quote, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until the age of 84. She never left the temple and worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the Word of God which performs its work in those who believe. I ask now, Lord, that your Word, your infallible and errant Word, would do a work of grace in our hearts. Lord, save those who are lost. Sanctify those who are saved. Glorify yourself in these moments before we take the Lord's Supper. We earnestly pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I've often told you not only to study what Scripture says, but also the way Scripture is written. I don't think it's any mistake that the story of Simeon and Anna falls immediately behind the story of the shepherds. The two distinct, very, very different groups of people, the shepherds and Simeon and Anna. The circumstances of these two passages of Scripture couldn't be more different. One takes place on a hillside out in the middle of nowhere where the shepherds are located. The other takes place right in the precincts of the temple. One involves the account of literal nobodies, as Justin mentioned last week, the shepherds, the base, the despised individuals of the world. The other involves two very devout, spiritually hungry people. who have been searching for the Christ, the Messiah, all of their lives. And so it's as if Luke wants to present this dramatic contrast between the hillside and the temple, between the shepherds and Simeon and Anna. The characters are very, very different. The shepherds weren't searching for anything, while Simeon and Anna had been searching all of their lives. They were searching, they were waiting, they were watching. The passage is clear that Simeon and Anna were senior citizens. Not only had they been watching, they've been watching for quite some time and waiting with zeal for the Lord. I want us to concentrate on Simeon and Anna this morning just for, or by way of contrast, I suppose, with the shepherds, but also for practical application's sake before we take the Lord's Supper. We always enjoy the Lord's Supper monthly on the first Sunday of the month. It's rather unusual to be in the midst of such a festive season like Advent and still take the Lord's Supper. It's really not unusual at all. It's perfectly consistent with all the gospel represents. And you'll see that, I believe, in some of Simeon's observations about the good news of Christ. But I want you to notice some characteristics first. Unlike the shepherds, Simeon had a rich and intimate relationship with the Lord. Look at verses 25 and 26 again with me. It says he was a devout man and a righteous man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Obviously, Simeon had a relationship with the living God, a very intimate relationship, a very rich relationship. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Remember, this is prior to the birth of Jesus. One of the differences between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant is that under the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit made sporadic appearances. Under the New Covenant, the Bible makes it clear in Hebrews chapter 8 that one of the marks of that covenant is the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of our lives. So here we are somewhat in between with a man who is so godly, the Bible makes it clear the Holy Spirit is upon him. The Holy Spirit is upon him. And the Holy Spirit has made a promise to him that you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. That is, until you see him eyeball to eyeball, the baby Jesus. So Simeon had a rich relationship with the Lord, unlike the shepherds. Now Simeon was led and controlled by the Spirit while waiting on Jesus. Verse 27, again, unlike the shepherds. And notice in verses 28 through 30, Simeon's life is complete after seeing Jesus. Look at verses 28 through 30. Again, Simeon took Jesus in his arms, praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." It's as if his whole life was focused upon the Lord Jesus. And that's not really unusual, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. To live a life that is focused upon Christ. And how we work that out is going to be different for every one of us. But one thing's for sure. It's going to involve a rich relationship with the Lord. And it's going to involve involvement with His Holy Spirit, resting, waiting, watching to see Jesus. Simeon was a godly man. Now I want you to notice something else. He understands the nature and scope of salvation. Look at verses 31 to 32. Here we go beyond the shepherds once again. He says, "I've seen the Christ," or your salvation, verse 31, "which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." What do I mean by that? He understands the nature and scope of salvation. Well, salvation means more than simply deliverance from Rome. That's why Simeon marks the fact that this child is born before all the people. In those days, most Jews thought that Messiah or the Christ would deliver them, would give them salvation from the Roman Empire, from Roman domination. But obviously, Simeon has a vision that goes way beyond that. He sees salvation as something much bigger than deliverance from Roman domination. He also sees it as something bigger and more vast than the borders of Israel, because he mentions the Gentiles, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for your glory, or for glory to your people Israel. So obviously he understands the nature and the scope of salvation. This man knows the Scriptures. because he knows his God. And unlike the ordinary Jew of his day, he had a vision to look way beyond Roman domination to the domination of sin over not only Jews, but also Gentiles. Now, not only did Simeon understand the nature and scope of salvation, but he also understood the cost and difficulties associated with salvation. Look at 33 through 35 with me. These are the last verses that I would utter on the occasion of the birth of a brand new baby. I mean, imagine the excitement. The Neshaws just had a new baby. Their grandparents, their children. Keith and Linda adopted a child. Can you imagine the excitement, the anticipation of having a new baby? What if the pastor walked into the hospital and said the words of verses 33 through 35? Says verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Merry Christmas. Thanks for the encouraging words, Pastor. What am I trying to point out? Simeon, unlike the shepherds, understands the nature and scope of salvation. He understands the significance of this baby. It's not just angels and good tidings. It goes way beyond that. Because Simeon knows that this baby is born to die. I think the words are absolutely fascinating. He understands the cost and the difficulties. Verses 33 to 35 say essentially there's going to be pain, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be exposure of thoughts and hearts. Remember Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's the incarnate Word of the Lord Jesus. It's been inscripturated for us. But the Lord Jesus will come and tell the truth. And hearts will be revealed, those hearts that are toward him and those hearts that are opposed to him. And so Simeon communicates the truth, and he speaks of the cost and the difficulties associated with salvation. Now move on to Anna quickly. Who is she? Well, a prophetess, a very old one at that, 84. The Bible says she never left the temple after she became a widow. She was married 7 years and her husband died. And apparently she made some sort of vow or pledge to remain at the temple to fast and to pray for the rest of her life. I believe this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy 5, verses 10 through 12, where he talks about widows not giving up their former pledge and becoming idle. He says they ought to marry again. Perhaps this woman made some sort of pledge. Perhaps this is where our Roman Catholic friends get the idea of a nun. Someone who never leaves the temple night and day, praying and fasting and dedicating himself or herself to the things of God. I don't know. But like Simeon, she was righteous and devout. She was looking forward to the coming of Messiah. I also want you to notice she was a senior citizen, but had all the energy of a youth. This woman had energy. She had zeal. She had been looking all of her life for the Lord. You know, it'll keep you young as you serve Christ, as you pray, as you seek His faith, as you involve yourselves in the means of grace. There's something energizing about that as God enables us to continue to serve. And so Anna comes up, and the Bible says at that very moment she gave thanks and praise. And then subsequently she proceeded to tell all others about Jesus, just like the shepherds did. You see, the passage ends again the same way the passage did last week. Verse 38, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So she acknowledged the child, she gave thanks, and she began to evangelize, just like the shepherds did as they went from place to place telling others about Jesus. Well, just a couple of practical applications this morning before we take the Lord's Supper. As we look at the shepherds last week, as we look at Simeon and Anna this week. And I believe Luke's desire for us to look at them by way of contrast, we can learn some things. And I want to mention two observations this morning. Number one, this passage helps us to distinguish between the grace of God and our responsibility to respond to God. The grace of God and our responsibility to respond to God. You see, both the shepherds and Anna and Simeon had one great thing in common. They were sinners in need of a Savior. The only difference is the shepherds were far off. They didn't have a clue. They didn't know the Scriptures. God came to them. God took the initiative. And that's what grace is. Grace means we don't deserve it. God opens the eyes. He opens the heart. He enables us to respond. And so when you look at the shepherds, you see a beautiful picture of all the Bible represents in terms of the word grace. God initiates. God opens the eyes. God allows them to take part in salvation. When you come to Simeon and Anna, you see no less grace, but the responsibility, the growth, the development of what grace should lead to. These people are searching for Messiah, longing for Messiah. They've got a zeal like Psalm 84 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord." They're waiting in the temple, waiting for the one who is the tabernacle to come into the temple, the Lord Jesus Himself. And so while the shepherds help us understand the grace of God, Simeon and Anna help us and exhort us to see our responsibility in responding to that grace. Like the shepherds in Romans 3, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. In 1 Corinthians 1, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble were chosen. The Bible says those things because God initiates in a relationship with us. He's the one that has to take the first step. But like Simeon and Anna, we are responsible. We are called to seek after Him. That's why the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you." Jeremiah chapter 29, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." There is a zeal and a passion that is supposed to be resident in the life of every child of God. As we understand the grace of God and not sit back and simply wallow in it, but respond to it and live it out, even to old age. And yet again, both of them were in need of a Savior. Shepherds help us see the grace of God. Simeon and Anna help us to understand our responsibility to God. Let me make one other observation. This passage presents our faith both in infancy and maturity. This passage presents our faith both in infancy and maturity. There is grace and responsibility, but also if you look at the shepherds and Simeon and Anna by way of contrast, you see innocency, you see infancy, and then you see maturity in the faith. The shepherds rejoiced in the sheer joy of knowing the good news. But Simeon had a greater, stronger, more mature grasp of the implications of the good news. This is why we have his bad tidings in the midst of the good tidings of his birth. Simeon is no card player. He's lived a long life. He's been looking for Messiah, and now Messiah is here. So he lays it out clearly. What's going to happen? That's the way a mature believer is. As you continue to walk by faith and not by sight, there are good things and bad things that happen in life, but you keep on walking because, like Simeon, your life is complete if you have the Lord Jesus. This morning we had the privilege of elders praying for Jan Hawes. She's going to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston later this month. She suffered from cancer for a number of years. And we, according to James 5, prayed for her and anointed her with oil. There is no guarantee that Jan will get better. She may be healed completely. We don't know. But the important part is that we're being obedient to Scripture and by faith looking to Jesus so that Jan can say, so that we can say with Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will keep my eyes fixed on Christ because my life is complete, not if I get healed, not if I get rich, not if my problems go away. But my life is complete because I've seen and experienced the Christ." Can you say that this morning? That's what this supper is all about. infancy to maturity. It is clear that Simeon and Anna are living for something infinitely greater than themselves. Their lives are focused and meaningful. This supper communicates that type of focus. There is pain and suffering and difficulty in the midst of the good news. And don't ever forget that. As you consider Anna and Simeon, may we all grow in our understanding of the grace of God. As we saw the shepherds like little children rejoicing in the good news, may we go on and grow like Simeon and Anna to a full, mature understanding of all the grace of God is and how we should appropriate that grace and respond to it by saying yes to Jesus Christ and acknowledging that He died in our place. He was born to die as a sacrifice for our sins, so that our sins might be atoned for, paid for, so that we might have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this passage of Scripture. Thank You for examples like Simeon and Anna. Father, thank You for the shepherds. And though they seem so vastly different, we understand them to be very much the same. And yet they give us a different portrait of all that we need to know about You and about salvation. Father, as we approach Your table this morning, help us to approach as those who are hungry and thirsty, even as Anna and Simeon are. Help us to approach as carefree as the shepherds, with great joy that You've chosen us and called us as nobody unto salvation. You've given us grace and mercy. May we respond with love and obedience and a longing, searching heart and zeal for Thee. Give us the grace to do that now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.